This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry, bringing to you the Short Talk Bulletin, published monthly by the Masonic Service Association of North America since 1923.
I'm Brother Dex Rowe from January 1932, The Winding Stairs. And they went up the winding stairs into the middle chamber. 1 Kings 6, verse 8. Freemasonry's middle chamber is wholly symbolic. Solomon the Wise would not have permitted any practice due uneconomic as sending multiplied thousands of workmen up a flight of stairs to a small middle chamber to receive corn, wine, and oil, which had to be brought up in advance, only to be carried down in small lots by each workman as he received his wages. There actually was a winding stair in Solomon's temple, but of the 3, 5, and 7 steps, the scriptures are silent. Only in this country have the winding stairs but 15 steps. In older days, the stairs had but 5, sometimes 7 steps. Preston had 36 steps in his winding stairs in series of 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 11. The English system later eliminated the number 11 from Preston's 36, making but 25 in all. The stairs as a whole are a representation of life, not the physical life of eating, drinking, sleeping, and working, but the mental and spiritual life of both the lodge and the world without, of learning, studying, enlarging mental horizons, and increasing the spiritual outlook. The first 3 steps represent the 3 principal offices of a lodge, and, though not stated in the ritual, must always refer to deity, of which 3, the triangle, is a most ancient symbol. They assured the fellow craft, just starting his ascent, that he does not climb alone. The worshipful master, senior, and junior wardens are themselves symbolic of the lodge, and thus, as a lodge is a symbol of the world, of the Masonic world, the fraternity. The fellow craft is surrounded by the craft. The brethren are present to help him climb. In his search for truth, in quest of his wages in the middle chamber, the fellow craft receives the support and assistance of all in the mystic circle. Surely an impressive symbol. 5 is peculiarly the number of the fellow craft's degree. It represents the central of the 3 groups which form the stairs. It refers to the 5 orders of architecture. 5 are required to hold a fellow craft's lodge. There are 5 human senses. Geometry is the 5th science, and so on. In the first degree, the blazing star is 5-pointed, and in the sublime degree are the 5 points of fellowship. In the winding stairs, the number 5 represents the 5 orders of architecture. And here, the neophyte is taught of architecture as a science. Its beginnings are laid before him. He is shown how the Greeks commenced and Romans added to the kinds of architecture. He learns of the beautiful, perfect, and complete whole, which is a well-designed, well-constructed building. Temples are built stone by stone, a little at a time. Each stone must be hewn from the solid rock of the quarry, and then it must be laid out and chipped with a gavel until it becomes a perfect ashlar. Finally, it must be set into place with the tempered mortar, which will bind. But before any stone may be placed, a plan must come into existence. The architect must play his part. So must the fellow craft, studying the orders of architecture by which he will erect his spiritual temple, design his structure before he commences to build. There are 5 orders of architecture, not 1. There are many plans on which a man may build his life, not 1 only. Freemasonry does not attempt to distinguish as between Doric, Ionic, and Corinthian as to beauty or desirability. She does not suggest that the Tuscan, plainer than the Doric, and the composite, more ornamental though not more beautiful than the Corinthian, are less reverenced than the ancient and original orders, Freemasonry makes no attempt to influence a fellow craft as to which order of life building he shall choose. He may elect the physical, the mental, the spiritual, or he may choose the sacrificial, plainer than Doric, or the ornamental life, which is not more beautiful than the Corinthian. Freemasonry is concerned less with what order of spiritual architecture a fellow craft chooses by which to build than that he does choose one, and that he build not aimlessly. Architecture is the most expressive of all the arts. Painting and sculpture, noble though they are, lack the utility of architecture and strive to interpret nature rather than to originate. Architecture is not hampered by the necessity of reproducing something already in existence. It may raise its spires untrammeled by any natural model. It may fling its arches gloriously across a nave and transept with no similitude in nature to hamper by suggestion. The architect may, if his genius be great enough, tell in his structure truths which may not be put into words. Inspired by glories not sung in the divinest harmonies, so may the builder of his own house not made with hands, if he chooses aright his plan of life and hews to the line of his plan, so indeed have all done all those great men who have led the world, the prophets of old, Pythagoras, Confucius, Buddha, Shakespeare, Milton, Goethe, Washington, Lincoln, if the fellow craft climbing his 3, 5, and 7 steps to the middle chamber of unknown proportions containing an unknown wage is overweighed with the emphasis put upon the spiritual side of life, he may here be comforted. Freemasonry is not an ascetic organization. It recognizes that the physical is as much a part of normal life as the mental and spiritual part which so much emphasis is put. The fellow craft's degree is a glorification of education, the gaining of knowledge, the study of the several liberal arts and sciences and all that they connote. Therefore, it is wholly logical that the degree should make special references to the 5 means by which man has acquired all his knowledge, aye, by which he will ever acquire any knowledge. Take away his 5 senses, and a man is no more a man. Perhaps his mind is no more a mind. With no contact whatever with the material world, he can learn nothing of it. As man reaches up through the material to the spiritual, he can learn nothing of the ethical side of life without a means of contact with the physical. If there are limits beyond which human investigations and explorations into the unknown may not go, it is because of the limitations of the 5 senses. Not even the extension of those senses by the marvelously sensitive instruments of science may overcome, in the last analysis, the limits of the 5 senses, except for one factor. Brute beasts hear, see, feel, smell, and taste as we do, but they garner no facts of science, win no truths, formulate no laws of nature through these senses. More than the 5 senses are necessary to perceive the relation between thing and thing and life and life. That factor is the perception, the mind, the soul, or spirit, if you will, which differentiates man from all other living beings. The fellow craft's 5 steps glorify the 5 senses of human nature because Freemasonry is a well-rounded scheme of living which recognizes the physical as well as the mental life of men and knows that only through the physical do we perceive the spiritual. It is in this sense, not as a simple lesson in physiology, that we are to receive the teachings of the five steps by which we rise above the ground floor of the temple to that last flight of seven steps, which are typical of knowledge. Most potent of numbers in the ancient religions, the number seven has deep significance. The Pythagoreans called it the perfect number because it is made up of three and four, the two perfect figures, triangle and square. It was the virgin number because it cannot, by multiplication, produce any numbers within 10, as can 2 and 2, 2 and 3, 2 and 4, 3 and 3, nor can it be produced by the multiplication of any single whole number. Our ancient ancestors knew seven planets, seven Pleiades, seven Hyades, seven lights burned before the altar of Mithras. The Goths had seven deities, Sun, Moon, Twisko, Woden, Thor, Frigga, and Saturn, or Saturn, from which we derive the names of the 7 days of the week, because seven witnesses were used to confirm and seven sacrifices offered to attest truth. The Sabbath is the seventh day. Noah had 7 days' notice of the flood. God created the heaven and earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. The walls of Jericho were encompassed 7 times by 7 priests bearing 7 ram's horns. The temple was 7 years in building. The 7-branched candlestick burned in the tabernacle, and so on, through 1,000 references. It is only necessary to refer to the 7 required to open and enter an apprentice lodge, the 7 original officers of a lodge, although some now have 9 or 10 or even more, and the 7 steps which complete the winding stairs to show that 7 is an important number in the fraternity. The 17th century conception of a liberal education was comprised in the study of grammar, rhetoric, and logic, called the tritium, and arithmetic, geometry, music, and astronomy, called the quadrivium. William Preston endeavored to compress into his middle chamber lecture enough of these to make at least an outline available to men who might otherwise know nothing of them. In our day and times, grammar and rhetoric are considered an importance, but in a secondary way. Logic is more or less swallowed up as study and the reasoning appropriate to any particular subject. Arithmetic, of course, continues its primary importance, but from the standpoint of science, geometry and its offshoots are still the vital sciences of measurement. Music is no longer a necessary part of a liberal education. It is now one of the arts, not the sciences. And astronomy is so interrelated with physics that it is hard to say where one leaves off and the other begins. As for electricity, chemistry, biology, civics, government, and the various physical sciences, they were barely dreamed of in Preston's day. So it is not actually, but symbolically, that we are to climb the 7 steps. As a Masonic author put it, William Preston, who put so practical an interpretation upon these steps, lived in an age when these did indeed represent all knowledge. But we must not refuse to grow because the ritual is not grown with modern discovery. When we rise by grammar and rhetoric, we must consider that they mean not only language, but all methods of communication. The step of logic means a knowledge not only of a method of reasoning, which logicians have accomplished. When we ascend by arithmetic and geometry, we must visualize all science, since science is but measurement in the true mathematical sense. It requires no great stretch of the imagination to read into these 2 steps all that science may teach. The step denominated music means not only sweet and harmonious sounds, but all beauty, poetry, art, nature, and loveliness of whatever kind. Not to be familiar with the beauty which nature provides is to be by so much less a man, to stunt by so much a striving soul. As for the seventh step of astronomy, surely it means not only a study of the solar system and the stars, as it did in William Preston's day, but also a study of all that is beyond the earth, of spirit and the world of spirit, of ethics, philosophy, the abstract, of deity. Preston builded better than he knew. His seven steps are both logical in arrangement and suggestive in their order. The true fellow craft will see in them a guide to the making of a man rich in mind and spirit, by which riches only can the truest brotherhood be practiced. Finally, consider the implication of the winding stairs as opposed to those which are straight. The one virtue which most distinguishes man is courage. It requires more courage to face the unknown than the known. A straight stair, a ladder, hides neither secret nor mystery at its top, but the stairs which wind hide each step from the climber. What is just around the corner is unknown. The winding stairs of life lead us to, we know not what. For some of us, a middle chamber of fame and fortune. For others, of pain and frustration. The angle of death may stand with drawn sword on the very next step for any of us. Yet, man climbs. Man has always climbed. He climbed from a caveman savagery to the dawn of civilization. Lowell's brute despair of trampled centuries leapt up with one hoarse yell and snapped its hands, groped for its right with horny, callous hands, and stared around for God with bloodshot eyes, was a climbing from slavery to independence, from the brute to the spiritual. Through ignorance, darkness, misery, cruelty, wrong, opposition, danger, and despair, man has climbed his own winding stairs through much of the same experience as that of the race. Aye, man climbs because he has courage, because he has faith, because he is a man. So must the Freemason climb. The winding stairs do lead somewhere. There is a middle chamber. There are wages of the fellow craft to be earned. So, believing, so unafraid, climbing, the fellow craft may hope at the top of his winding stairs to reach a middle chamber and see a new sign in the east.
This is Brother Michael A. Smith, a voice for Freemasonry. And this has been the Short Talk Bulletin Podcast, brought to you by the Masonic Service Association of North America for the purpose of supporting the worthy goals of disaster relief campaigns, hospital visitation, and the spread of Masonic information and knowledge. If you agree with supporting these worthy goals, please donate. And thank you.